It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Told Chad he would be so proud of me. I flossed on the way in this morning. Well, you know, I had my big deep cleaning yesterday. And you know how after you've been to the dentist, the next day you're like, I mean, this is no different than when you're a kid. You wake up, I'm going to brush my teeth every morning and every evening, and I'm going to floss every day, just like the dentist told me to. And there I was, driving along, going at it. Yeah, I could tell people in the cars next to me were mildly jealous of that man has good dental health and hygiene. See, son, that's really what you want to do right there. They did the sedation dentistry on me yesterday with, no, the sedation's good. That means, you know, so I was overdue for a deep, deep clean. It was 20 minutes for what would have been an hour otherwise, because, I mean, they put the shot in the gums and then the gas, the topical, the whole thing. You don't feel a thing. And it's one of those deals where you're going, can you feel that? And you're wondering, I wonder what I'm supposed to be feeling. I wonder what I'm not feeling right now. They might have used a pressure washer. I mean, she was going at it. It was a real cute Pakistani girl. Yeah, but, you know, you don't want to creep too much because you're laying right there, right? And she's looking at your teeth. So you kind of want to, you know, catch a glance ever so often. But you don't want to be, like, staring. That's weird. And you can't see much anyway because they've got the eyes, the kind of Dr. No eyes. And then they've got the shield. And so they got a lot of stuff. But you could tell she was cute underneath all that. Well, and I'd met her before all that because she came out to say hello. So, you know, you catch a glance ever so often. I was wishing I could fall asleep, but I couldn't manage to fall asleep. I did find it interesting, though. She would say, can you feel that? Are you feeling any pain? And you're thinking, man, what are you doing to my body that I'm not able to feel? But I guess it's better that I can't feel it, right? And then anytime I would even slightly start to feel something, I'd take a deep breath of that nitrous oxide and go, yep, if I wasn't breathing, and get some more of that. But you should have seen me this morning driving in. I got my floss out. Oh, yeah, I'm going to floss every time. I'm going to floss all the time, every time while I'm driving. I'm going to be good. Well, here we go. Thank you, Fox 26, for focusing on this issue. Their Breaking Bond series. A man freed on a bond for beating his ex-girlfriend. They let him out. He then kidnaps her and nearly beats her to death. And when you see the pictures of this woman, we've posted them to the blog, or Fox 26 has them. I don't need your web clicks. I just want you to be angry at what he's done to her. Fox 26 is Breaking Bond.
That's whenever he hit me, like, well, a lot of blood came out, and even my skin, like, whenever I went like that, my skin was hanging.
This is what Prisca Mendoza looked like after being severely beaten last Thursday. Her attacker, she says, is Heriberto Morantes, the father of her four children. In April of 2019, he was charged with continuous family violence following an alleged attack on Prisca. He's been free from jail on bond, and he's accused of violating the conditions of that bond. He was ordered to wear a GPS monitoring device, but it only prohibited him from returning to the couple's home. Last Thursday night, Prisca says he kidnapped her from a bar parking lot in her truck.
And I even tried to jump off the truck, like, probably like five times, and again, like, he would, like, pull me from my hair and just put me back inside.
Prisca says Morantes drove her around and beat her severely.
He could have killed you.
Yeah, and he even told me he was going to kill me. I just remember waking up in the hospital and, like, nurses and doctors were just around me.
For her protection, the hospital gave relatives no information.
All we knew was that she was somewhere out in the street, picked up by the ambulance. We didn't know if she was alive. We didn't know if she was breathing. We didn't know anything.
On TikTok, Morantes taunted the police.
He wrote, I'm right in front of you guys. Like, mocking the fact that everyone's looking for him.
If he gets arrested, Prisca and others worry he'll just get another bond and be out of jail in no time.
That's what I'm most afraid of. I am scared that the law will not protect her.
Now, in a statement, Harris County Pretrial Services says it's aware of the GPS tamper alert and has notified the court. An arrest warrant has been issued for Marantes' arrest.
So this guy was given a bond after beating his ex-girlfriend. He was freed. Hey, yeah, go do it again. And he did. And when they do catch him, he'll be freed again. And he'll do it again. And this next time, he'll kill her. Now, you would think her entire family would vote Republican after this. People don't see the connection. These are all Democrat judges. This is exactly what they want to happen. The plan is working according to design. You'll remember the story, the three valet drivers in Southwest Houston recently. The guy plows over them and kills them. Well, we caught him. And the Democrat judge, Chris Morton, lowered the bond from $350,000 to $220,000, which is only $60,000 for each murder count and $40,000 for the aggravated assault. Or, to put it bluntly, for $22,000, he gets to walk again. Amidal Tayeb El Numan Madawi, 17, who is from Sudan, is charged with three counts of murder and one count of aggravated assault with serious bodily injury in the 230th State District Court. Ramon, look up who the 230th District Court is. Do we know that already? As a condition of his bond, Madawi must wear a GPS ankle monitor under house arrest until his next court appearance. Chris Morton again. What are the chances? As a condition of his bond, Madawi must wear a GPS ankle monitor until under house arrest until his next court appearance, which means they'll put the monitor on, he'll cut it off, and then he'll go wherever he wants. Because that's what's happening. According to court documents, Madawi is permitted to attend school and go to church. Oh, nice. Yeah, because we want him to continue with his education. Madawi is from Sudan and is not a U.S. citizen. He has lived in the U.S. for the past 5 years. The fatal crash occurred at approximately 10:30 p.m. Friday, October 1st, in the 5800 block of Fairdale after a sergeant with HPD spotted Madawi, who was driving a white Infiniti G37, doing donuts in a parking lot nearby. When the sergeant activated his sirens in an attempt to conduct a traffic stop, Popo said Madawi fled at a high speed down the residential street. Madawi then hit three valets, 23-year-old Eric Orduña, 23-year-old Nick Rodriguez, and 18-year-old Efnan Maisho, before flipping the vehicle and crashing into a fence. Both Madawi and a passenger in the Infiniti sustained injuries in the crash. I wish the little punk had died. All three men Madawi struck with the vehicle were declared dead at the scene. Madawi was himself a valet and had been driving a client's vehicle during the police pursuit and subsequent crash. That's what the valets do with your car when they get it, by the way. They go do donuts in the nearby parking lot. You can see this video on the blog, and it's worth it. Lucky he was just arrested and not justifiably shot. A Houston man arrested after video shows him stopping in the middle of I-45 in front of a delivery truck. He then gets out, opens the door of the delivery truck, and punches the driver in the face. He was free on a bond for another road rage incident.
The Michael Berry Show.
Oh, Michael Berry.
Day in 1969, Waylon Jennings marries his fourth wife, Jessie Coulter. They remain married until his death in 2002. This song she wrote 11 years later became a big hit for them in 1981. About the time that Hank Williams Jr. was lamenting that Waylon staying home and loving Jesse more these days, because all his rowdy friends have just rowdied on out. So this guy gets out of his car. He stops in the middle of I-45 in front of a delivery truck. Monday, Harris County Precinct 5 deputies arrested a man wanted for a road rage incident in which a truck driver was attacked on the North Freeway on October 15th. Stephen Sahr, S-A-H-R, 41, was arrested and charged with assault and deadly conduct after he swerved in front of a delivery truck in the second lane of the highway as moving traffic continued. Deputies said Sahr slammed on his brakes and parked his car in the middle of the North Freeway before he got out to confront the truck driver. When the driver was forced to make a complete stop, Sahr approached the truck door, opened it, and started punching the man. The entire incident was caught on a dash cam. He's lucky this delivery driver isn't carrying, because at that moment, you're getting shot right between the eyes where you deserve. Well, Mr. Sahr, who would appear to have anger management issues, it's a pattern. He was free on bond for another road rage incident. He was arrested in May after being accused of firing a shotgun in a road rage confrontation on the East Freeway. Gosh, it's almost like this guy's a real danger and shouldn't be out on the streets hurting people. Every one of these people who's given a bond should be given a list of every criminal Democrat criminal court judge in this county and their home address. When that happens, these people will look at this differently. When that happens, these people will be a little more reticent to be releasing bad guys out into the streets and assuming, well, you'll never find me. Two thugs try to rob a gas station convenience store in Northwest Harris County. But the clerk was packing, and one of them gets shot. According to deputies, the attempted robbery happened around 9 a.m. yesterday morning in the 15,000 block of West Road. Harris County Sheriff says two suspects entered the business. One suspect, armed with a gun, attempted to rob the clerk. A third suspect waited outside in a car. A struggle ensued, and the clerk, who was also armed, shot the suspect. All three suspects ran out of the store and to a nearby Chick-fil-A because they love the fact that Chick-fil-A puts those little pickles on there. And as they were saying, we've just been shot. We need a quick chicken sandwich, where the Chick-fil-A clerk said, hold on, bud. Everybody gets theirs quick. There's your commercial right there, right? Two thugs robbing a store. The getaway guy's out front. A fight ensues. One of them gets shot. They both tear ass out of there. They're pulling up their jeans because they wear those skinny jeans down, you know, sagging. And they're pulling up their jeans. One of them is bleeding profusely. The buddy's gone. And they go, oh, Chick-fil-A, let's have a quick chicken sandwich. And they run over and they tell the guy, hurry, hurry, hurry. And he's like, no, that's the point. Because it's a Chick-fil-A commercial. That's the point. Chick-fil-A's fast enough that even if you're in the middle of a getaway from a robbery, you can still have time to stop and get a sandwich. Wow, Chick-fil-A, you're great. Well, they ran to a nearby Chick-fil-A because their buddies run off at this point, where they spotted an ambulance. What are the chances, right? Dude, you got hit. Yeah, you got, oh, man. Can you believe Boo drove off? I can't believe Boo drove off on us. Man, this is wrong, man. Boo done drove off on us. Wait, there's an ambulance. What are the chances? The injured suspect was taken to a nearby hospital in critical condition. At last check, he is in stable condition. The other two suspects were detained. The suspect's vehicle was left at the food mart. The suspect's weapon was recovered, as well as the clerk's. Ooh, hoo, hoo. You messed with the wrong dude there, buddy. You messed with the wrong dude. A manifestation of the mental illness that leads to insane, irrational fears of climate change. In the UK, a climate change activist
superglued himself to the road. One of them even superglued his face. Here is that eco warrior.
Cut my hair by my temple.
Right.
Because my face was totally glued.
Right.
But now I've worked most of that off, but the hair is still stuck. So I'm, these scissors, I'm just trying to cut the hair.
Do you regret the gluing? Are you
yeah, it's not one of my better moves. Yes.
Right.
But it was to sort of make a statement that things are fairly critical.
Yes.
And so I was wanting to have an extreme action to reflect the extreme nature of the emergency that we're facing.
See, if I do something really, really stupid, y'all will realize what a big deal climate change is. No, we'd rather just laugh at you for being really, really stupid. Because remember last year when you did it for Darfur, and the year before you did it for chemical weapons in Syria, and the year before you did it for the Kurds, and the year before you did it for the Rwandans, and the year before you did it for apartheid, and the year before you did it because your mom told you to get out of her basement and find your own apartment, and the year before you did it because you've never had sex with a woman, and you're 58 years old, and even the websites can't satisfy you. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of, if stupid actions are climate activism, you boys are leaders in Greenpeace. I mean, you are really getting after it. You're getting everybody's attention. Meanwhile, back home, tonight is a big night in Houston, Texas. Game one of the World Series. The world doesn't really play, but we call it the World Series, and nobody really argues because the best of the best come here to play. It is game one of the World Series, and Major League Baseball has a little problem on their hands. They hate these two franchises. They hate the Astros and claim they're the only ones that cheated when all the others did as well, including Alex Cora in Boston. And they ripped the All-Star game away from Atlanta, and what'd they do? They made the World Series. So how does Major League Baseball, how do they promote their biggest event of the year?
Get ready, baseball fans. The 2021 World Series is headed your way, featuring two teams we pretty much threw under the bus months ago. From Georgia, it's the Atlanta Racists, a.k.a. the Braves. And they're taking on the boys from Southeast Texas, the Houston Cheaters, a.k.a. the Astros. These are the two greatest teams in baseball. Sure, we told you they were both awful months ago, and we've been cheering against them both all season. But now, we have to begrudgingly admit these are the two best teams we have to offer. So tune in to the 2021 World Series, featuring the Cheaters versus the Racists, a.k.a. the Astros versus the Braves. Be there. Fifty years ago today,
The debut of the electric company. Silhouette reading of words. But you didn't matter in pop culture unless you were parodied by Family Guy.
Because if I blow this, I'm going to have to go back to my old job at the electric company.
Duh.
At.
Dot. Buh.
Et.
Bet.
Bet. I knew that. Slow it down.
Puh.
It.
Pit.
Pit. Come on, pal. It's my first day.
Puh.
At.
Fat.
Oh, that's it, buddy.
The U.S. Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, who has made a lot of money, millions and millions and millions, over the last few years in her role in and out and back in government by the people who benefit most from her decisions. Millions of dollars for speeches. There's no speech worth millions of dollars to that audience. They're not monetizing it. That's a way, like buying Hunter Biden's art, to pass money to somebody, technically, legally, if ethically questionable, so that then they will reward you with their decisions. Well, now, as part of Joe Biden's Build Back Better plan, she has proposed a tax on unrealized capital gains. Now, I recognize that most of you know what an unrealized capital gain is, but it's important that we understand what they're doing and that all of us understand. A capital gain is a gain on the investment of capital. So it's not wages that you earn. You get paid $30 an hour to be a welder or a plumber. And on your paycheck at the end of 2 weeks, you see, here's what you were paid, here's what the government took out before you ever got paid, and here's the measly amount you were left with. Those are your wages. You were taxed on your gross wages, and they went ahead and just took it out for you. That is a gain based on salary or wages or tips. And that's how most people make their living. But capital, what you do with that cash, you could choose to live on a small percentage of what you make and invest that money. And the easiest, most liquid exchange is the stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange. That's where most people at the entry level are going to invest. So let's say you put $1,000 in Apple stock. And then Apple stock goes up to $1,500. Let's say you bought one share at $1,000 and it goes up to $1,500. You now have a capital gain of $500. Should you cash that out? Janet Yellen is saying, no. Let's go ahead and tax that now. Let's get everything we can. Well, as our friend Scott Kutoch noted, well, if you can tax unrealized gains, then I should be able to deduct unrealized losses. Or as someone else noted, and I thought rather accurately, you are effectively taxing a child's dreams. Hey, Billy, or Jose, or Tyrone, or Ashif, you're doing real well as an... You're doing real well in second grade. What would you like to be when you grow up? Well, I'd like to be a lawyer. A lawyer. Okay, a really successful lawyer or just kind of a middling lawyer that does traffic tickets? Very successful. You want to do corporate civil defense or you want to be a plaintiff's lawyer? You want to be a criminal defense attorney, or you want to be a state prosecutor? State prosecutor, they make the least amount of money. Okay. Corporate civil defense attorney, bad idea. You got to be in the top 10% of your class. You grind more hours than any other lawyer, and you make the second least amount behind only state prosecutors. Oh, okay, I'm starting to get the idea here. Okay, criminal defense attorney. That's better than all the others except for a plaintiff's attorney, except you have to deal with lowlifes all the time. And the cartels are the ones that pay the best because gangbangers don't have a lot of money. So you end up being a cartel lawyer, and I can tell you from personal experience, cartel lawyers can't sleep at night because the cartels are constantly concerned that you're cutting a deal with the state, you're giving information that they gave you, that you're not trying hard enough, so you might sleep with the fishes. So while that's paid better than the other two, and you can be in the bottom of your class, nobody, the only people for whom good grades matter is if you want to go to work at Andrews and Kurth or Fulbright or V&E or Baker Botts or one of those. But if you're below that, you can just go do any of these other things. Now, the fourth one, which is the highest paid, is an ambulance chaser. That's where the real money is. Those are the guys that bring lawsuits. Those are the guys you see their advertisements. You know, you've been hurt in an accident. But that's not the only kind of people they sue. They sue corporations, you know, when the deal goes bad or whatever else. That's where all the money is. So you go in and you go, okay, Asif or Tyrone or Susie or Braden or Blaine or whatever else, we think you're going to make $8 million in your career. So we're going to need you to give us about $3.2 million right now. But I'm in second grade.
Michael Berry Show.
Folk song sang at Jewish celebrations, traditional, from the Hebrew language. But did you know that it was composed in 1918 to celebrate the Balfour Declaration, which was a declaration by the British government after the victory over the Ottomans in 1917? That year, the Balfour Declaration was the British government's announcement that they would support the creation of a Jewish homeland, which, of course, eventually became Israel. The Balfour Declaration was originally intended to relocate the minority population in what was then known as Palestine, which was part of the Ottoman Empire, to a homeland of their own, which became far more important a matter during World War II, when it was seen what was happening to Jews in Germany, giving in 1948 the Ben-Gurion Accords greater prescience and importance. And here we are. It's 2021. Every president of the last five promised to move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and wouldn't do it. But Donald Trump did. Did he get his credit? Not from the people you would have expected would. Joe Biden admits that he hides from reporters like a coward.
You know, when you're president, see all these people here? They're with you all the time. They get to ask you all kinds of questions, and you try to figure out how you can avoid answering them sometimes.
Donald Trump did something that no president before or since has done in my lifetime. He walked over and answered every question directly. He didn't wait on a press secretary. He didn't defer. He didn't hide. He didn't clutch to his wife and veer away from them. He marched over aggressively at them, took their questions, dismissed them one by one, and turned and walked off because he could. Joe Biden can't possibly answer any questions. Here was Janet Yellen proposing her tax on unrealized capital gains that I talked about in the last segment.
Well, I think what's under consideration is a proposal that Senator Wyden and the Senate Finance Committee have been looking at that would impose a tax on unrealized capital gains on liquid assets held by extremely wealthy individuals, billionaires. I wouldn't call that a wealth tax, but it would help get at capital gains, which are an extraordinarily large part of the incomes of the wealthiest individuals. And right now, escape taxation until they're realized, and often they're unrealized and at death, benefit from so-called step-up of basis. So it's not a wealth tax, but a tax on unrealized capital gains of exceptionally wealthy individuals.
This idea that exceptionally wealthy individuals need to be taxed more is rooted in a very, very disturbing set of policies. It is the othering of the rich. This is what was done to the Jews in Germany and, frankly, the Jews in Russia. Because what the Russians did to Jews in pogroms, history does not pay enough attention to. But look, this has been done to the Tutsis. It's been done to whites in Eastern Africa by Barack Obama's father. It's been done to various tribes across Africa. It's been done to the South Sudanese, who were relocated across five countries in Kenya in a UN camp. It's been done in Vietnam, Cambodia. The killing fields of various countries by the othering of people in a different religion, from a different region, speaking a different tongue. This has happened throughout history. This idea of turning one against the other, it plays on the worst of humanity. And this is exactly what the Democrats do. And they act as if it's noble. They act as if there is a noblesse oblige obligation of the rich to the poor, as if it is alms. No, it is the taking of some of the wealth of others. And the way you do that and still stick with what we've been taught and our core values is, well, they didn't earn it anyway. They all inherited it. Except that's not true. They didn't all inherit it. Most wealth in this country is self-made. Most people who are wealthy created that for themselves. But wait a second. If they didn't, if you make a little money, enough to pass on to your children, on your death, what role is it for the state to come in and intervene in between your parents and you and the transfer of generational wealth? And remember, when we use the term wealth, it's in an economics or legal sense. It's not under the idea that you own yachts. You may have your house paid off and your cars paid off. You may have $300,000-$400,000 in wealth that could be transferred to your children. What role does the government have in stepping in and taking that money upon your death? Why should your death mean the government has a greater claim on what you worked to acquire than your children, who, by the way, may have been taking care of you for the last 5 years, who, by the way, may have participated in the accumulation of your wealth, at least in a later age? It happens. How does the government have a better claim on that which your parents acquired, accumulated, built, than you, their family member? That's not who you want to give your money to. It's the state you want to give it to your children.